In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
Brothers and sisters, we have three commemorations today. We have the commemoration of the Lord's resurrection. It's also the post-feast of the Ascension. And we remember today the fathers of the First Ecumenical Council. And of course, there's a link between all of these things. Because what the Lord did in rising from the dead and ascending into heaven was preached by the apostles and was confirmed by the doctrines of the fathers. In fact, we just sang that in the hymns today, that what the apostles preached was confirmed by the doctrines of the fathers. And it was at this first ecumenical council that we commemorate today that the creed was drafted. The creed is the confession of everything that the Lord did and the apostles preached. We recite the creed as part of our daily prayers. It's at a central place in the divine liturgy. The creed is, if you will, a short summary of the gospel, the good news that the Lord is risen from the dead, has ascended to heaven, and is bringing us there too. This connection is very strong in the church of what the Lord did and what he's incorporating us into. In fact, this is the very mission of the church, to share this grace, to share this life, this eternal life, this knowledge of who God is, Jesus Christ whom he sent, and the Holy Spirit who shares all of this experience of eternal life. This is what we are about to be recommissioned in next Sunday in Pentecost. And we look forward to this day. We heard in the reading from the Acts of the Apostles, how St. Paul was hurrying to get to Jerusalem in time for the day of Pentecost. Not for that first Pentecost, but for the annual commemoration of that Pentecost in which the Christians were renewed in this grace, in this eternal life. St. Paul was hurrying to be present for that feast. He was filled with great anticipation, like we are, for next Sunday, the day of Holy Pentecost. But we contemplate today the Ascension. The Church gives us the Ascension on the 40th day after the Lord rose from the dead, which corresponds directly to the Lord's life on the 40th day he ascended to heaven. The Church gives us this feast day as a time of grace. And every feast day is filled with something special. The Lord's Feast of the Ascension is particularly so. We'll speak a little bit about that. And it's a grace that happens in the context of the life of the church that's communicated to us. Those who are able to make it for the Feast of the Ascension, the Vespers and the Liturgy, know that this was a joyous and a bright day, a day of great celebration. And that continues. We have what's called, again, the post-feast. The Lord's events are too great to put on only a single day. We need time to contemplate them, time to assimilate that grace, understand it, and be changed by it. We'll speak about what the disciples saw in the Ascension and how they were changed by it. We spoke last Sunday about the importance of vision, having our spiritual eyes opened, being able to see not just the things of the earth, but also the things of heaven. And what the disciples saw in the Lord changed them. They had spent 3 years with him, seeing his miracles, hearing his teaching, seeing a life that they had never, ever seen before. Something so lofty, so beautiful, so pure, so good, that they were filled with light. They were illumined by the Lord's teaching. And when they saw him ascend to heaven, they were filled with some sorrow, because this light was leaving them. And yet, that sorrow was turned into great joy. In fact, we read in the Gospel of St. Luke that the disciples were filled with just that, great joy seeing the Lord ascend to heaven. And this was a joy that the Lord foretold that they would have. When he was preparing them for the passion and the crucifixion and his death and burial, he told them, "Now you have sorrow, but you'll see me again. And when you do, you will be filled with joy, and no one will take that joy from you." That was the joy the apostles had with the Lord for those 40 days of the resurrection. The joy that he had overcome everything. That he was alive, and nothing could defeat him. This joy was multiplied when the Lord ascended to heaven. Because they saw him as triumphant over all of the world. And this visible ascent, this bodily ascent into heaven, signified a very important spiritual reality. That the Lord's truth and his grace is supremely victorious. It triumphs over everything. And they rejoiced, and they were of, as the scriptures say, of good cheer, because Christ has overcome the world. And the ascension was a confirmation of that. You know, this was a time also of healing for the disciples. The disciples had gone through much. They loved the Lord, and they suffered greatly with his passion and with his cross and death and burial. They went through a spiritual trauma. They were wounded. But when they saw the Lord rise from the dead and ascend into heaven, they were healed. It was like a balm that was placed upon their wounds. The one whom they loved was victorious, and they were restored to confidence in him. Even we heard when the Lord is on the Mount of Olives, there were still some who doubted. And then he ascends to heaven and he blesses them. And having received the blessing, they were filled with great joy. And they were filled with a certain boldness even. Because what did they do after seeing the Lord ascend into heaven? But they went into the temple, and they were there continually praising and blessing God. Remember, who was in the temple? The Jews. The Jews who had put the Lord to death, who were threatening them. The apostles' fear was quenched by confidence and boldness because they saw the Lord victorious. And they went into the temple unafraid. They were healed. St. Epiphanius, who was Bishop of Cyprus, he analyzes the great value of the Feast of the Ascension. And he says that many people do not know the greatness of this feast and regard it as somehow lower than the others. However, he says, just as the head is the jewel of the body, so also the Feast of the Ascension is the embellishment of all of the feasts. It is the fullness of all of the feasts. In other words, the ascension completes the work of Christ. It fulfills everything. Some say it's like when a bishop is vested in the center of the church, the final thing that he puts on is the mitre, the crown. The ascension is like the crown that sits upon the top of the Lord. And this crown is a sign of his kingship, a sign that he shares the throne with the Father and the Spirit, that he has ascended to where he was before, that he is filled with his glory that he had with the Father before the foundation of the world. And the disciples were pleased to rejoice in beholding this glory, beholding this King, seeing this God. The ascension revealed that to them. And it was confirmation of everything else the Lord had done. The ascension, of course, brings also direction to the disciples. Because it tells the disciples where they're going, where the Lord is leading them. He said to the disciples, I'm going away from you. I'm leaving you. But it is actually to your advantage. It's expedient that I go. Because I'll send the Holy Spirit. And because I'm going to prepare a place for you. That where I am, you too may be. That we might also ascend with Christ, to be with his Father and the Holy Spirit, to be incorporated into that eternal life, into that glory that he comes to give to us. It is expedient that Christ has ascended to heaven, because we too can now ascend. The ascension brought anticipation. The Lord said, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from on high. It is in ascending to heaven that the Lord makes this promise to the disciples, to stay in Jerusalem so that they could receive the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit could take of what is Christ's and declare it to them, so that he could confirm them in the fullness of the truth, so that he can convict the world of sin, of righteousness and judgment. so that the Holy Spirit could fill them with this newness of life, making them sons and daughters of their Heavenly Father, giving them adoption through grace in the waters of baptism. The disciples were filled with great anticipation to receive the Spirit, who the Lord said is with you and shall be in you. They couldn't wait to receive this Holy Spirit. The ascension foretells the second coming. St. Luke writes in the Acts of the Apostles, he says of the disciples, they were looking intently into the sky as he was going up, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way in which you have seen him go into heaven. That is, he'll come on the clouds in great glory to judge the inhabited earth, to inaugurate his kingdom." The Lord ascended, prefiguring his second coming, that he would come back for us to bring us into that next age. The ascension opens heaven to men. St. Athanasius the Great, he says that resurrection grants man the prize of victory over death, but ascension lifts man up to heaven, since it changes a man's way of life on earth and makes heaven accessible to him. St. Gregory Palamas also says that resurrection is a gift that's given to everyone. Whether you're a Christian or not, you're given the gift of resurrection. But he says that it's the Christians, those who change their lives, those who receive this light and this illumination, it's the Christian who gets to ascend, to be with the Lord, to be caught up on the clouds when he comes again. It's the Christian that gets to ascend into heaven. What a wonderful gift to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, to see what those apostles saw, to hear their preaching, not just in the scriptures, but in the living preaching of the church, which continues to share this message of good news. What a great gift it is to have the fathers who confirm these doctrines. These doctrines which were threatened by people who would undermine the work of Jesus Christ, who would undermine his status as co-enthroned with the Father and the Spirit, who would undermine our own salvation, which is incorporation into that life. What a great gift it is to see what the Lord has done, to hear that apostolic preaching, to have the confirmation of the doctrine, and to share in that vision ourselves. The disciples spent those 3 years with the Lord, and they knew that they were being changed by what they saw. They knew that every moment they could spend with Christ was bringing them closer and closer to eternal life in the heavenly kingdom. The disciples also knew that every moment they wasted, that they were looking down upon the earth and not looking up to heaven. Every moment that they found themselves separate from Christ through sin was wasted time. It was doing nothing for them, but robbing them of eternity. Brothers and sisters, let us be people who realize the gifts that have been given to us, who don't waste our time on this earth, but take advantage of it. Let us be people who prepare for that renewal of the gift that comes on Holy Pentecost, that renewal of our faith in Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit to the glory of God the Father. Glory to Jesus Christ. Amen.